chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. With this scripture on our mind, shall we reverently kneel for a word of prayer, all who are able. Beings, it's revival services. Children, 12 years old and younger, you will be going to your classes as usual. The remainder of us will continue here in the main sanctuary as Brother Randy Weaver comes and shares and leads our Sunday school hour this morning. At this time, we're going to sing a hymn as the children go to their classes, and then Brother Randy will come and lead us.
Good morning. Greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I crave your prayers this morning, and I thank you for your prayers that already have been given. There's power in prayer, and we depend on prayer in our house. We live in a very aggressive household sometimes. Overreactors. And prayer seems to have a way of calming some of those situations, and I'm grateful. I like that song this morning. It was a plea to God. What an appropriate song for opening of revivals. To be revived. Revive is for a people who know God. To be revived is for people who know God. And it's a plea that he opens the wells of grace and salvation. That we can have a holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion with him. It's a plea. That song's a plea of the saints. Thank you, brother, for that song. It's very kind. Our lesson this morning is a very good lesson. And it's a lesson about going out. And eligibility and eligibility is one thing. But there's those who are eligible that are not prepared. There's two groups of people. And we want to talk about that this morning. Preparation is a whole different experience. Eligibility is salvation, but knowing and walking in obedience is eligibility to be able to go forth. And so it's important that we understand. We want to look at a little bit of that this morning as we study the word. And I wanted to give a brief history. The New Testament. You know, our Bibles say Old Testament and New Testament. And the reason they say Old Testament and New Testament is for all people throughout all the earth to have salvation. God has provided in every era of his word by the Testament. You see, if we were only Jews here this morning, it would say Old Covenant and New Covenant. But we as Gentiles are eligible by the New Testament. We want to look at that. You know, Nineveh was never given the covenant, but by the testament of that covenant, they were eligible for repentance of the Old Covenant. And the Bible says, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. God made a covenant with Noah, but by the testament of that covenant, all were eligible to enter into the ark. Salvation was open to all. Ruth was eligible because of the testament of the Old Covenant. And we will look at that a little bit this morning as we get in to our lesson, because it's important that all are available. It's a beautiful thing. And I think it's been missed over many years about the testaments. Why our Bibles say Old Testament and New Testament. It's important. That we don't profile, that we don't excuse, that we don't put out. That we don't make an ineligibility for sinners. Sinners are called to repentance, all sinners. It's available to all. It's important that we understand that. And Christ taught his disciples that in our lesson. They were taught before they went out. And we want to look at some of that also. And I went back in and to the introduction of our lesson. I went back and I wanted to show, I studied why Israel was cast off. Why the old covenant was broken. The old covenant was broken in two different scenarios in God's word. The one scenario was in 1 Kings chapter 9. And it had to do with Solomon. The northern kingdom, which was Israel, was cut off. The covenant was broken because of Solomon. God made a promise with Solomon that if he was obedient unto death, that temple in Jerusalem that was built and those people was everlasting. But he also said that if there was disobedience and that he would disobey, that the temple would be destroyed. And the people, Israel, would be cast off and would be a byword. And that's what happened. We know the story of Solomon. But Judah was spared because of David. You see, authorities have an effect on people. People who handle God's word with authority have an effect. It's dramatic. It's not a joke. And the Bible warns us in the last days there will be many false teachers. Teachers are those who stand in front of people and have a voice. Deception will abound. The deception is to the saints. It's not to the heathen who know not God. The deception will be to the saints to turn them away from Christ. And so Judah was cast off, as you go through the Old Testament, was cast off. In 2 Kings, the covenant was broken because of Manasseh. Manasseh did a terrible, terrible thing. And we know a great picture of salvation and repentance is the story of Manasseh. He did repent. And I believe Manasseh is in heaven today. But there was a consequence because of that sin that he done. And it's in 2 Kings 24, 1 through 5. The tribe of Judah was cast away because of the sin of Manasseh. The covenant was broken, and Judah was cast away. It states it in those scriptures that I told you. Israel, the northern kingdom, was cast off because of Solomon and disobedience. Judah was cast off because of Manasseh. It's a serious thing. But God did not leave his people destitute to damnation. He brought forth a way of salvation. It says, as we go through, it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The prophet Ezekiel was not only prophesying the doom, but he was prophesying a future of hope for a people. In Hebrews 8, the apostle Paul, who wrote Hebrews, and I like how he separates the Jews and the Gentiles, one by a new covenant. See, God's word is true. It's all true. There is no deception in God, but there's no truth in Satan. Satan is the father of lies. There is not one tittle of truth in Satan. Remember that. But there is not one tittle of lie or deception in God. And his word is true. And I like how Apostle Paul represents the truth. And we're going to look at that because our lesson is about going out. And so here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says this: but now hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which it was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Listen to the words. The covenant, the new covenant is made with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Truth. Doesn't say they're the house of Gentiles. It's important we understand this. House of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. To the house of Israel and the house of Judah, a new covenant, a hope. Christ died for the Jew first, and then the Greek. And now we want to look at the Gentiles portion. This is beautiful. Hebrews 9, verse 14. And this word testament is in the Bible about six times. And this is what makes Ruth, Moses' father-in-law, all the Ninevites were available because of a testament of a covenant. This is what makes you and me, the Gentiles, available, because we are part of a testament of the covenant, the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Now let's look before we get in our lesson, because the teachings of Christ are to all people. His disciples are going out to minister to all nations. And this is beautiful. So let's go to Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, by the means of death, for redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament. You see, Ruth joined the Jews. That covenant was not made to the Moabites, but the testament was available. Isn't that beautiful? And today, here Paul is teaching us, by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were upon the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. Because of the second covenant that was made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah, that testament makes us available. And when we have the love feast service in Mark 14:24, and he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Amen, brothers and sisters. It's because of that testament of the covenant. God made a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And that testament, that New Testament, applies to us, that we can be part of that covenant. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. God has had mercy on mankind. He had mercy on mankind. His judgment, his wrath is going to come. He's going to destroy, but he has mercy on us, that we can have a right relationship, that we can go to heaven. Brothers and sisters, if you're not in heaven when his judgment and his wrath falls, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You see, Lucifer and the angels, those fallen angels, were once in heaven. They can never return to heaven. The third of the angels that went with Lucifer can never return. That's why God made the lake of fire. Because they were created, the host of heaven. And Psalms 33 says that they were created by the breath of his mouth. And that breath is an everlasting breath, and it can never die. And the hosts of heaven, who Lucifer and a third of the angels who fell from heaven were a part of, were once in heaven, and they can never return to heaven. And so the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels, the Bible said, because of the breath that they will live. It's a serious matter. In Genesis 2, the Lord God formed man and breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's that breath, brothers and sisters, that we will live forever. But we were never in heaven, brothers and sisters. So God has provided a way for us to get to heaven. But the Bible says, few are they that find it. That's sobering to me. That's why we need revivals. And I hope and pray for our brother, because it's a serious matter. And I just wanted to, that's why Christ is going to send forth his disciples throughout all nations to give them an opportunity, a hope to have salvation, to escape the wrath of God that is coming no matter what comes. It will come. Generation after generation, we are sitting here today because of a faithful generation who feared God and taught us that one day he is going to come, and he's going to come and the earth will be destroyed, and he has provided salvation. And we are to be teaching our children and our grandchildren that there is a day of reckoning that is coming. We don't know when, but generation after generation after generation, you know, since 2025, Christ was born. 2025 years ago, he was born. Our calendar is the representation of Christ's birth. Don't forget it. It's a witness. Throughout all the world, they're witnessing 2025. That has marked the birth of Christ. That's beautiful. That's a testimony. And so in our lesson today, he wants us to go out. And he's talking, the lesson, he's talking with his disciples, but it applies to us also today, to go to all nations. Are we passionate? He has provided a way for us to escape his wrath. Praise the Lord. That's mercy. That's grace. But the day of grace will end one day. When you see somebody lying in their casket, there is no more grace for them people. But there is mercy if they are redeemed. But there's no more grace. Mercy will endure forever. But grace is limited. There's a day when grace will end, but his mercy will never end. Praise the Lord. And so these are things that Christ was teaching his disciples as he was ministering. Teaching all things. You see, there's a balance. There's a structure to the kingdom of God. And Christ understands that God, every kingdom, has a structure. You see, the kingdom of God, you just don't walk right in there. God has a protection to his authority, to his throne room. Every kingdom has a protection to the throne. And God, who is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Christ, of the kingdom of God, he has a way in. And that protection is, first, you have to be obedient. Can we be a holy people without obedience? You see, you can't even get to step number two. You can't even get to holiness unless you're obedient. That's a protection. And then once we're obedient, we become a holy people. We get to see Christ. The throne of is Christ. The glory of God is the next step before the throne of God. So there's three steps. It's obedience, it's holiness, and that we will dwell with Christ before the throne of God. That's God's protection to his throne. That's how he keeps all specks of darkness away from him. You see, there's a stepping stone to get to the throne of God. And Christ mediates that. And so it's important. And so that when Christ began to teach his disciples, it wasn't an always an easy task for Christ. He has come, he has set up his kingdom, and he is a testimony of the kingdom of God. He has come to be the sacrificial lamb that we may have a way to be redeemed, that we can have peace with God. And it says in Isaiah, when he saw the travail, that God was satisfied. When he saw the travail of his soul, Christ's soul, God was satisfied. He was satisfied. The travail of his soul. I don't think that was easy for Christ to always endure. But wanting to be obedient to the Father, he endured it for us, for all of us. And so now he wants all people to know what has been done. He has come, he has died, and he has resurrected. And he has taught. He has taught his disciples. And now he wants to send them forth in a great commission to go forth. And that's what our scripture is about. In Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." That's what we're talking about. He wants eligibility for all people throughout all nations. All nations. And that includes us. You see, the Holy Ghost is the same throughout all the earth. The obedience to Christ is no different for those that are living in Russia today, for the saints that are living in Ukraine today, for the saints that are living in Palestine today, for the saints that are living in Israel today, for the saints that are living in America today, or Canada, or Iran. Obedience is required the same for all people to Christ. Remember that. It's important to remember. It's the same. Salvation is the same throughout all the earth. There was only one ark that God provided for the world to have salvation in the days of Noah. There wasn't two different arks. There was only one way of salvation. There was only one way through the covenant of Abraham and Israel. There was only one way of salvation. Once the way was fulfilled, God provided another way. Today we live under the New Testament, Jesus Christ. All nations, all people must come to Jesus Christ. There's only one way of salvation throughout all the earth. And there will not be another way until that way is fulfilled. Salvation is only one way for all people throughout all the earth, and that is to come through Jesus Christ, which is in our lesson today. Remember that. Don't let anybody trick you. He has provided only one way of salvation at a time. Once the days of Noah was fulfilled, there was another way of salvation provided. Once the way of the old covenant was fulfilled or was broken, he provided another way of salvation. That's for us today, throughout all the earth. God is not a God of confusion. There's one way throughout all the earth, and it's through Jesus Christ today. All people, all tongues, all tribes must come to Jesus Christ. So getting into our lesson, we want to talk about eligibility and qualified. There's a difference. What makes us eligible to go forth into all the world? To baptize, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What makes us eligible? That's not just anybody can do that. There's an eligibility that has to happen. And this is where it starts. There's many illustrations, but I brought a few to make it clear. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have to be born again. We are not eligible to go out unless we are born again. Number one. Number two, another crucial one. And this is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8:37, it says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He was baptized. But he wasn't allowed to be baptized until he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Another qualification that has to happen before we're eligible. We have to believe with all our heart, and we have to be baptized. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No compromise in that. And then the third illustration, it talks about Paul is given an illustration about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. That's what I want right there. That what he had promised, he was able to perform. We have to be fully persuaded before we are eligible to go out. So we have to be born again. We have to believe that with all thy heart. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized. And we have to be fully persuaded. That makes us eligible. That doesn't make us qualified. It makes us eligible. And the reason I say that is because the disciples were called. And once they became his disciples, they were eligible. But boy, they had a long way to get qualified. And we want to look at a few of them. In Matthew 18:21, our good brother Peter. I love Peter. I love them all. I love the Word of God. It's beautiful. It changed my life. It spared me from a lot of consequences. And today I have a peace, no matter what happens. And I love these faithful brothers and sisters in God's Word who went on before us. And I love the old faithful brothers and sisters in the church, too, who have gone on before us. You know what intrigues me about these men of God? And I pray that the Lord will have kindness and forbearance with my own soul, is the discipline. I love to see brothers and sisters that are disciplined. I see men and women who will not compromise one iota. Boy, is that beautiful. They stand on the truth like a tree stump in the ground. They will not move. And that encourages me. And I was like, Lord, I want to be like that. And so as Christ is teaching his disciples, we'll see some of the inconsistencies. Why they were eligible, but they were not qualified yet. Here's one, Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how ought shall I forgive? How ought shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You see, Peter was eligible to go out, but he didn't know how to teach how many times we're to forgive our brothers. And we know the story, what Christ told him. Until 70 times 7. There was a work. There was a beginning of qualification that was beginning in Peter's life. Another one is in Luke 9:46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Can you imagine a group of men going out to testify, to teach the word of the Lord? And there's a moment of reasoning among them, an argument among them, as they're among a group of people who say, hey, we all need Jesus here. We all need to be baptized. We all got to come to Christ. And yet they're having this great argument among themselves. Is that what Christ wants us to do? You see, there's a teaching going on here. There's a discipline happening. There's a knowing what has to be known. A one accord. They have to be in one accord. So they're being taught here. And it's the same for us today, brothers and sisters. There's many of people who come to Christ. It's a beginning. And we have to study his word. We have to pray. We have to pray earnestly. That we have, before we go out, that we don't become an offense. And then moving along here, Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed us not. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. You see, these are things Christ was teaching his disciples before he's sending them out. And sometimes I think we send out people who need to be taught. We should be sending out the retirees of a church, the mature spiritual ones who are planted like a tree stump, who are unpersuadable. How come they don't go out? Do we send out our youth and we wonder why they come back and they're not faithful servants anymore? And we're going to look at that. What happens? Not only does Christ teach his disciples here, but you got to realize there's going to be rejection. And we're going to look at that also. Is it fun to be rejected? Is it fun to be confronted? How do we handle rejection? You know, there's many of people who gave up on following Christ today because they were rejected. That's not easy, brothers and sisters, to be rejected. That's also part of eligibility. Christ is going to teach his disciples. How many times was Paul rejected? How many times was Paul shipwrecked? Do you think that was fun for Paul? Why was he in that situation? Was it because of his own lust? Was it because he was living great and he was a businessman and he loved and he had much wealth? Or was he out naming the name of Christ? Do you think that was easy to be shipwrecked? In bonds, floating. And then you end up on an island with barbarians? And they receive him better than his own people? They receive the message? See, we have to also understand rejection. There's a discipline in being rejected. And we want to talk about that also. Moving on here. It says here, another illustration. It says, but ye shall not be so. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's back up to Luke 22:24. And there also was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Another situation. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is the chief, as he that doth serve. Takes discipline, brothers and sisters. The Gentiles, the one who's knew not the kingdom of God. They were lords over their people, and they were benefactors. We're not to be benefactors. Who gets the increase? It's Jesus Christ. We are to be servants. Servants. It's important. You know, last night, Jordan Keller, he was having revivals at Upton, and he talked about the rich man Lazarus. Do you realize the rich man was a servant to God? He was one of God's servants. Did you know that? He was a Jew. And if you go back into Deuteronomy, it talks about if they lay a man at the gates as one of your brothers, what you're to do. There's a stipulation there. And he was taught those things. He was of the Jewish faith. He was a servant of God. That rich man was a servant. And it wasn't his riches. It wasn't him being rich that sent him to hell. It was the fact that when Lazarus was laid at the gates and he had the means to provide as a brother of the kingdom of God, that he did not. That's what got him. He had the means to provide. God had blessed him in such a way that he had the means as a brother to Lazarus. And as a servant of God, he was disobedient. You see, there's servants of Christ today that are part of the church that are disobedient servants who will not obey the Holy Ghost. And one day, he's going to have a great separation of them servants, and he's going to put them over with the heathen. It's not a joke. It's a serious thing. He's going to spew them out of his mouth. He's going to remove their book out of the Lamb Book of Life, their name. He talks about it. But we don't have to be a part of that. He's beckoning us to walk in obedience. That's what he wants from us. And that's what he's going to send his disciples out prepared, that they will teach, that people will know and have the opportunity to be a part of and to walk in obedience like we do here today. We live in times that distractions want to pull us away from obedience. Our forefathers in the church had put guards to guard influence and thought lives and the hearts of us, that we may not be tempted. And it seems like today we just remove all these guards and remove all these things, and we say, well, we can look at it, but we don't have to be a part of it. But the temptation grabs our children. It grabs even some of us, and it grabs our grandchildren. It's important that we remain faithful. So the disciples here are being taught. And then we want to move on to look at what qualification looks like. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all with one accord in one place. You see, there was no strife among them anymore. It was resolved. They were in one accord at one place. Beautiful, right? They were prepared. They were qualified. They were eligible, and they were qualified. And then moving on, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see the power in that? You see the one who's bringing forth the message, that he has experienced that and he's been walking in that and the power of that. And it says, what does he say? Repent and be baptized. He's right away asking a people to come under the submission and authority of Jesus Christ and be obedient. And it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this up unto word generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now that's beautiful. And you know what? Are we not still continuing that today, brothers and sisters? Praise the Lord. That's a remnant. We are a remnant of these scriptures. I see I ain't going to get near through what the Lord had laid on my heart, but that's okay. You know, moving along, I want to also talk about the temptation that comes to those that are available, that are eligible. And I wanted to use King David, who was, as he was out in the wilderness, chased around by Saul, his allegiance to God was faithfulness. Every move was faithfulness. But once Saul was dead, he began to waver. A lot of people don't see that. The sin of Bathsheba did not just start that day. It started way before. First of all, you know what he did? He gathered wives and concubines to himself, which in Deuteronomy, God warned the kings not to do that. You know what else he did? He built a house. He was friends with Haran in Tyre, and he built a house of cedars for himself. That was another mistake of diminishing. And then the king of Ammon died, and he got his servants to go in there with gifts. Remember that? And he gave honor to the king of Ammon. But you notice the day, the scripture right before he saw a woman on the rooftop, it says that there was war to be made with Ammon. And it said he sent out Joab and his servants went out to fight with Ammonites, the Ammons. But he said he stayed back. Why do you think he stayed back? You think he had a relationship with the Amorites? He liked them people. He didn't want to kill them. You see, God had a purpose that he was to go out and to kill a people that he didn't want to kill. He was disobedient and he stayed back. And you know what happened? He fell into sin. And that can happen to many of people who go out that are eligible and are out ministering. Temptation can come in and grab us. Discouragement. I have here in closing the scriptures of the seeds that's sown. You know, we go out and we talk and people come to Christ. And it talks about the sower. He goes forth. And some, it falls on the stony ground. And they receive the word, but don't root. That's a people who come to Christ as we're ministering, but then they reject it. And some fell among the thorns, remember? And the cares of this world come in and choke them out. How do saints, not just ministers, because all can go out. How do we handle rejection? How do we handle somebody who receives a word and becomes a part of the kingdom of Christ, and then the cares of this world come in and grab them and take them away? And they become our enemy. They can even persecute us. And then it says, some fell on good ground and brought forth much fruit. You see, rejection is not always easy. And there's many of teachers and ministers, many of people who have the gifts that Christ has given them, who are not serving God today because of rejection of the message. And so we need a discipline there that we stay firm, that we stay planted, and that we guard. And that's where the body of brotherhood, the church, the fellowship, that's what that's supposed to be about, to help us withstand the wiles of the devil, brothers and sisters. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your comment, or your kindness and your attention. May God bless you.